Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
That's right. The Drive is live, and it is a beautiful day for you because it is a Texans Ticket Tuesday out here today. So coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, just like you heard on Payne and Pendergast, just like you heard on In the Loop, you will have an opportunity to win a pair of tickets in the bullpen coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. So make sure you are listening for that cue to call, and you call in and you can win tickets to an all-important game against the Denver Broncos at NRG coming up on Sunday. So a Texans Ticket Tuesday. A lot of tease today to get into. Here in a second, it is a Tape Drop Tuesday. We'll get to that as well. But it is that time on a Tuesday. Home game coming up Sunday. You got a chance to win a pair of tickets. So stay tuned with us for that. Remember this, Football Talk on Sports Radio 610 is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL games live every Sunday, all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. So let's get started with a little football talk, Clint. It is a Tape Drop Tuesday, and you should have had a good time and watching this Tape Drop Tuesday, unless you got disgusted by the other team like you did with the Ravens a couple weeks ago. But this has got to be maybe the best film put on tape by the Texans all season.
Well, there's so much good by the Texans that we've got to try to figure out the best way to couch it so that it's consumable on radio, right? But yeah, there is. I mean, we can start there if you'd like. The defensive front for the 49ers it's not quite as bad as the Ravens, because the Ravens just didn't want to play. It's almost like they would just quit. I mean, at least the 49ers kept playing, but they were very easily blocked, I would say, up front. And the Texans had a field day with a group that just isn't very talented up front. Good luck. But for the betting folks out there with the 49ers moving forward, I don't know. I know they started out 5-2. I don't see this team being much down the stretch.
Yeah,
I just don't. I don't know how. I don't know how they make it make sense defensively. I mean, that's a rough. I mean, they'll be fine in terms of just putting a product out there, but that was not a 5-2 defense. That's for damn sure.
No. They we talked about it going into the game. I don't know that they're as good as their record is.
Right.
Right. They've had some games that could go a lot of ways. And this wasn't one where it's like, all right, they're 5-2 leading their division. Like this one may be a tough one. This felt different than Seattle.
Yeah.
You know, who was 5-2 as well when the Texans faced them.
Well, defensively, they don't have dudes, and they're just not very good. You know, you don't have that one or two guy that makes a difference, and then they're just not very good around them. So that's fair. I mean, that is a and I think most of us knew that this wasn't the most talented defensive front in football, but it was clear they left a lot to be desired. I don't know how Robert Saleh and Kyle Shanahan watch that tape and go, yeah, let's go win some game, boys.
Yeah,
I mean that's a tough watch right there. especially living in that division they're living in with the Rams and the Seahawks.
Yep.
But nonetheless, there are some things, and I think the way that I want to couch this, Ron, is you know, what did we see or what did I see that I feel like has a chance to transition to a better opponent, which is, I think this week, the Denver Broncos are going to be a better opponent. I think on both sides of the football, if we're being honest, after what we saw, they're going to be a better opponent. And I want to start with the quarterback. The improvement at the quarterback position, the improvement of C.J. Stroud was clear. Everybody's aware of that. But there's a couple of things that really stood out in the TV copy as well as when I'm watching them on tape. It was even better than I thought. Like his command at the line of scrimmage, CJ's command at the line of scrimmage of pushing protection one way or the other, getting guys picking up pressures and getting the ball out opposite or, you know, protecting yourself. CJ was tremendous. And it was a little bit more, I'd like to see even more animation, to be honest with you, but he was pretty animated with the process. Which is important because the center's down there with his hand on the ball, bent over, trying to look over his shoulder at what you got going on. You got to move your feet. You got to be loud. You got to use your hand signals. And it was CJ. It wasn't just once. I remember seeing it once or twice. It was several times throughout the game where CJ's commanding what the hell's going on at the line of scrimmage. I think that transitions, Ron. I think that transitions. Yeah. Now, this was a very vanilla defense. They didn't give a ton of different looks, and so it could be more difficult, and it will be more difficult moving forward to try to figure out which way to send them. But him being more, you know, animated and more in control at the line of scrimmage, I think was
never ever looked confused.
He didn't understand
what's going on.
The other thing is CJ staring down the barrel and delivering on that touchdown throw to Xavier Hutchinson. We talked last week about more about CJ than necessarily the offense or winning football, but CJ's the caliber quarterback that if he sits in there and he doesn't feel the rush and he just keeps his eyes downfield. And he should make two or three throws a game where he gets his jaw rocked as he's letting go of the ball. He's good enough to make those kind of plays. This is what I was talking about. This throw, the touchdown throw was, there's not many quarterbacks in the league making that throw. They're not getting it off because he needs so little space and can generate so much power with that real compact stroke that he has. A lot of guys can't get that ball off because their stroke is longer and it takes more time. A lot of guys can't get that ball off because they don't have the ability to push it down the field on a pinpoint like that with that quick of a release. So him staring down the barrel, it was even better. That touchdown throw was even better than I expected. Yeah. I thought the other thing with CJ was it was clear he worked through progressions and knew exactly where his checkdowns were all day long.
That was clear.
Yep. All day long. And there were even moments in the game where he eliminated half the field. Like, come to the line of scrimmage, and I know, hey, my read, my number one and number two in my progression over here to my left, but I'm getting a certain coverage, and the linebacker's buzzing that way right now. So I'm just going to, as soon as I snap the ball, boom, I'm just going to work right. I'm going to eliminate 1-2. I'm going to get to 3-4-5 and get the ball out quicker. He did that multiple times in this game. Now, was that a San Francisco thing, or was that I'm more comfortable in Nick Caley's offense thing? I don't know, but he worked through progressions, and he eliminated half the field in his progression multiple times, and I thought that benefited. And again, these are all things that we saw in the 49ers game and should carry over into the Denver game, right? I think these are important things that we saw C.J. Stroud do that maybe aren't as dependent on the protection. Maybe it's not as dependent on everybody winning their battles up front or having the best scheme. If he can take this from one game to the next, I think it's going to be great. The other thing that CJ had a lot to do with, Ron, was, you know, they still don't do enough of it. I still am kind of baffled by the lack of snapping the ball with guys in motion. I'm not like I feel like Nick Caley.
You didn't see a lot of that. It felt like they did it. It seemed like Noel was a motion move guy
Game. No, well, there's a difference between a motion and a move. There's a difference between a motion and a shift, and that's where I was going with it. You're right. I think one thing that was better this game that they didn't use enough of in the past, and CJ didn't time them up very well, is snapping the ball in motion. Like, there's a couple of snaps where we're motioning to a stacked where as you said, Jalen Noel motions over, and the second he gets behind, stacked right behind that receiver, you need to snap the football because the whole point in stacking a formation is so them two DBs that are bracketing y'all don't know who, don't they're not they don't have time to communicate. If you set up and let them communicate, let one of them shade outside, let one of them shade inside, and then they read the release. Whoever goes outside one takes, whoever goes inside the other takes. Like the whole point of that motion is to not let them communicate who's got who and somebody bust free, right? And in the past, there's been times where I think CJ held the snap and screwed up the concept and hurt the offense and hurt him. I thought they were better several times in this game with, we're going to motion this guy, whoever it may be, and we want to snap the football with him stacked right behind another receiver or in the middle of a trip set, bunch set, so that they don't have time to decipher what the hell's going on. Is he going inside or is he going outside? Right? I thought they did that multiple times and used it, I guess it's more executed it cleanly, where in the past they didn't use it enough. And when they did, the timing was screwed up, and that's on CJ. So I think CJ was just significantly better in that department as well. And again, I think that's something that when you face other opponents, if you can execute those motions, even if they're short motions, if you can execute them with a sense of urgency and great timing, then you get the most juice out of that squeeze. If you screw it up and the guy's out there pausing and stuttering before you snap the ball, I mean, you might as well just line his ass up out there and let him you know, call the strength and play it. So I think that had a lot to do with CJ as well.
Yeah, the hope is, because to get to the point of what you're talking about from watching the tape, is some of this stuff, kind of like the Ravens game, was opponent, you know, driven.
Yeah.
Right. But what things can you carry from the game?
Sure.
That you could do it against better opponents like Denver coming up with the front. Like the front's going to be different. But my question is, and hope is, all right, can CJ and the cast do all of this under pressure?
Right. Well, I'll give you a perfect example. I don't know the answer to that question. We'll see on Sunday.
Yeah, we'll see.
But to me, like early on in this game, Braxton Berrios catches a drag route on a third down and kind of a little bit diving catch, maybe more of a falling catch. But CJ was able to avoid a little bit of pressure and lay it out there in front of him. Like the way that was set up, I believe Braxton Berrios started in a little tight and went outside the formation and then came all the way back across the ball. Right. If we don't have guys, Ron, that can go out there, set their feet, let the defense adjust, and then we take off and we can run away from them. Like Braxton Berrios not going to run away from anybody. But if that motion is timed up to where Braxton Berrios, he takes off outside with a sense of urgency. Now that DB's panicking a little bit, and then you snap the ball and he's got to change directions immediately. Now you've created some space. Now, by design, by formation, by short motion, you've created a little space, and it's not all reliant on Braxton Berrios outrunning somebody. So the way that thing is executed is the whole point is to get somebody that doesn't necessarily have the speed to run away from a defender to get that advantage, get that 1 or 2 yard advantage, and now you got him. Braxton Berrios is a guy that his advantage is it's twitch, it's change of direction. Well, if you take the change of direction away from him because you snapped the football late, now he's at a disadvantage. Now that DB can just chase him. So, you know, those kind of things are important. They're going to be even more important when you face a better opponent, which is definitely this week. So I think those are the handful of things, Ron, that had to do with the quarterback, improved quarterback play, that I believe are signs of them getting better, not just signs of them playing a bad opponent.
All right, what about, especially with the offense, because a lot of this is about the offense and their performance, and a bit surprised how easy they did it. They had some guys out like Nico and obviously Christian Kirk. What about outside of CJ Stroud? What jumped out on the tape to you?
Well, if we're staying on the offensive side of the football, I'm becoming more and more convinced on a couple of guys. I know it's been rough, the overall product for several weeks of, we're sitting at 3-4. So, I mean, I think all but 2 of the 5 weeks have been pretty rough. But I think Woody Marks is the real deal. Woody Marks has got a chance to be even better than expected. Jalen Noel is a guy that even the national media is going, I don't know what the hell took so long to get this guy on the field. I think he is real. British Brooks, for what it's worth, I know it's not a big part of the offense, but hit the British Brooks package, I already think in third and fourth and short goal line situation, he's going to be a big part of that. But that damn wham block that he had, man, he just plays naturally with a different level of physicality.
Yep.
And I do think that there's – when you can do that, We want to see more of it, but when you're on the field now, all of a sudden we got to expand his package to do more things so that the defense doesn't zone in and go, oh, this is going to be some kind of wham or some kind of power play because he's in there.
He'd be looking for
so,
it now.
So his ability to catch the ball out of the backfield, his ability to carry the ball himself, we've already seen it on some fullback dive stuff on third and fourth and short. That is real. That plays in a big, big way. We may not see much of it, but it plays. And then the Dalton Schultz thing. I hammered Dalton Schultz every week last week when he was on that bull jive. I'm going to give Dalton Schultz love every week that I see him go out there and be a different-looking dude. Dalton Schultz did it again.
Had two catches.
Well, I ain't worried about that. Hell, I know he can catch it and run with it. I know he can settle in soft spots. I know he can catch the little bootleg thing in the flats when nobody's covering. I'm not worried about Dalton Schultz from a pass catching perspective. I'm worried about C.J. Stroud getting the ball to him and making sure he gets enough catches. But I ain't worried about Dalton Schultz. The Dalton Schultz in the whether he's pass protecting or he is run blocking, most of which run blocking, it has been not just, boy, that's really good for a guy that shied away from it last year. It's been really good for a receiving tight end in the NFL. I mean, he's playing with a different physicality, and it is a 180 difference in physicality from last year. So I'm going to tip my cap to Dalton Schultz every chance I get, as long as he's playing like that.
All right, I'm sure there's going to be a little bit more from the
I got some good defense stuff. I got All some right. good defense stuff for you, Ron, when you want to hit it. So All right. just let me know, bub.
I always like to hit it.
I'm talking about my defensive takes, man.
Yeah.
All of it.
That's what I meant. Yeah. Hit it. Hit it and quit it. All right, coming up.
There was a time.
Coming up, this be something to revisit from the last couple of weeks. We know Clint does the post-game show after every Texans game right here on Sports Radio 610 with Sean Pendergast. And there's some conversation the last 2 weeks about something concerning C.J. Stroud that I think would be good to jump on and discuss. We'll do that coming up.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson. On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Next. Tuesday.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
It is a Texans Ticket Tuesday. Your chance to win a pair of tickets in the bullpen coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, so you got to stay tuned. And listen for the cue to call, and you can have a chance to be in the building for an all-important ball game against the first-place Denver Broncos, coming off of beating the hell out of the Cowboys. They're trying to win that Texas two-step, ain't they? Cowboys, Texans, two games in a row for the Broncos.
Where'd you hear that? That was cute.
I just came up with it right there on the spot.
No, you heard that somewhere this morning.
They always say the Texas two-step when teams have to go and play
like Dallas or in the Rockets or the Spurs and the Rockets, and they got two in a row there. A little Texas two-step right there.
They can three-step that piece in basketball,
they can three-step. Sometimes they can. Yeah, go all the way.
Does anybody ever do that?
Three-step?
Does anybody ever play all three of those teams in back-to-back-to-back?
I would assume it's happened. Why not? Go ahead and knock them out.
It makes a lot. I mean, it would make common sense if you're really trying to keep your expenses to a minimum.
Wait, you're in the Eastern Conference. Go ahead and knock that out. You got one trip to all of them. Go ahead and bang it out.
Fellas can have a good night in each city, experience every kind of different vibe Texas has to offer.
Why not start in OKC and just run it on through?
Why not, man?
That's a tough four-game stretch, though. OKC, Mavericks,
Spurs,
Rockets. Spurs are 4-0, by the way. They look like they're going to be this year's Rockets from last year. That team, like, you look at the Spurs, and I will get to the CJ conversation. But you look at the Spurs, somebody is coming up off that eight seat, one of those eight spots that were in the playoffs last year. I don't know who it is. Somebody is coming up off of that, and the Spurs look like they are primed and ready to be in the postseason coming up. All right, Clint, this is something that has. There has been a point of conversation the last couple of weeks on the postgame show, and that is the body language of CJ Stroud, both coming out of the Seattle game when it was kind of negative body language, when he was just sitting over there staring. I think I said a couple of weeks ago, well, I wonder, is there anything on that window surface, or is he just looking in it so nobody come talk to him? And then last week, I know many people were calling in saying it looked a lot better. He sounded a lot better in his press conferences. Your thoughts on that, because that's been something you and Sean been getting a lot in the postgame.
Well, look, I think it's good timing for the conversation, because I think as an entire fan base and as anybody that follows the team, media or fan, I think we've experienced the extreme one direction and the other in the last 2 weeks. Understandably so. You saw how bad the Seattle game was, and nobody takes it worse than the quarterback. And then you see how good the San Francisco game is, and again, nobody takes it better than the quarterback, right? And so I think we've seen bad CJ when it comes to body language, bench conduct, facial expressions, responding to adversity. And I think we've seen good CJ in responding to obviously having some success. I think it goes beyond just having success on the field. There's some audio out there right now of after D'Amico Ryans gave him the game ball, he turned immediately and said, hey, I'm going to get five of these and give one to each of my offensive linemen, which, by the way, CJ, you need six because Fisher played quite a bit, and you need seven because you got a rotation at left guard. So don't leave all those guys out. If you do, bust that football up. All joking aside, with the way the Seattle game went and the body language and bench conduct and facial expressions and kind of staring blankly into a pad, not having much communication with anybody on the sideline to fix the issues, that is plenty of reason to be concerned. And that's been my big concern with CJ Stroud, is how does he handle taking the bull by the horns of this football team, of this offense, and really being the franchise quarterback, really being the guy beyond just, man, this dude's talented and can spin the rock around the park, but the guy that's literally the face of the organization and somebody you can build around. And I think a lot of that has to do with this particular conversation. It was as bad as we've seen it 2 weeks ago. It was as good as we saw it 2 days ago. And where does CJ land? Somewhere in the middle, he's got to land. I just think it's a fascinating conversation, because I do think it matters. I do think it's a big part of his future here in Houston. I think it's a big part of what tier quarterback CJ lands on. And I think it's a big part of, do they have to go and find and pay big money to some alpha on the offensive side of the ball that can ultimately lead us to where we want to go, or is CJ that guy?
So what should it look like, the concern? Because, I mean, clearly, Clint, if you're getting your ass kicked like you were against Seattle, I mean, the thought is not that you're going to be over there happy, right? When you're dominating and you're playing, arguably, as D'Amico said, maybe your best game, one of your best games since you've been with the Texans. You're going to have a different feel on the sideline and everything. But what should it look like even in those games where it looks like Seattle or Tampa?
Well, to be fair, like my response to this in this conversation would be that I'll care more about what he looks like and how he acts in the adverse times, not when he's riding the high wave, right? He even said it. It's easy in the post game after he gave the offensive lineman the ball, all the game balls. He is somewhere in the middle of there. He alluded to the negative talk that they're getting, obviously, which is a big talking point over there right now. But he did say, you know, that, you know, it's easy to be ultimately a good teammate and a player and a leader and all that when you're winning, like and you're playing good ball, like they're playing. So I mean, to be fair, I think that I'm more concerned and more interested in what it looks like when there's adversity. And CJ's got to get to a point, Ron. And I hope that, you know, hearing him be more vocal in the locker room and the post game, in a positive moment, hopefully that bleeds over to him feeling like he can come out of his shell and be a little bit more, show a little bit more emotion on the sideline in the moment. Like, I don't expect him to go to the post game presser and all of a sudden be some guy that does something different and has a different feel after getting his ass kicked all day. For me, it's, what does it look like on the sideline when your O-line's not able to protect? Is there some kind of emotion shown on the sideline, right? Is there some kind of emotion on the sideline to your offensive coordinator when times are tough? And again, I'm not saying that you got to dog cuss the guy or throw him under the bus, but some level of, hey, guys, let's get this crap together and get this thing rolling.
It can sometimes look blank.
I mean, we've covered him and watched him as close as we could possibly do. We're going on 3 years, and there's never, I don't recall there ever being a moment in an adverse situation where it was up, animated, we got to get this right, and everybody get your ass over here and listen, this is what we got to get done. This is what we got to get accomplished. Stop with all the penalties, all the false starts. Stay your tail on the clock and do your job and give me some time or whatever it may be, whatever the message that needs to be delivered is, there's not been a moment that we've seen that on a sideline. And so I'm anxious to see if that happens. And if this week kind of what we saw, we had a little peek behind the curtain there in the locker room. I wonder if that rolls over into him maybe being a little bit more vocal on the sideline and on the field.
Yeah. Hopefully we see that. It does. Even when it is going wrong, you want to have the feel that, like, here, I'm good, man. I still, even though it's going wrong, I still have a ton of confidence that we can get back. Don't know if it's true or not, but sometimes his body language doesn't show that. Sometimes his body language doesn't show, well, like, I got confidence.
Well, not only the thing is not only does it not happen, There is a look and there's a mope to C.J. Stroud. There is a real mope to C.J. Stroud when he's getting hit. There's a real mope to C.J. Stroud when things aren't working out. There's a real mope around look to C.J. Stroud on the sideline when things aren't going his way. And look, there's nothing the guy can do about it, the look, because I think a lot of it is probably misinterpreted. But there is, to me, something in terms of holding guys accountable, whatever it may be. If they're not communicating right up front, if guys, we've heard it a million times, if guys aren't being coachable and you're not taking what the hell you're doing at practice to the field, nobody should be more quick to get that corrected than the damn quarterback. You know what I mean? Like, if whatever communication's going on up front and it's not getting done in the game, then there's nobody on the field that has more of a right to get in there with those guys on the sideline and get them together and get it right. I mean, if for whatever reason the play calling gets wonky and it's not aggressive enough, or they're not using tempo, or it's too much run, or it's too much, hey, there's nobody that has more of a right than the quarterback to say, hey, Kaylee, man, what the hell are we doing, man? This ain't what we talked about all week long. Yeah. You know, so that is what I'm waiting for. And it's a fascinating watch because we all know CJ can play. You know, the thing is, you know, can he do that? And I do think the mannerisms, I think the facial expressions, the body language, I do think all of that is something to keep an eye on.
Last night, we saw what many people are calling one of the best games in World Series history. At what point did you throw in the towel? When did you stop watching that game last night? And I think I got an understanding of what we're watching with Shohei Ohtani. Insane performance from him last night and throughout the postseason. I think I got a handle on what we're watching. We'll discuss that coming up.
Sports Radio 610 presents... The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Yeah, I was real pissed off at myself last night that I'm watching multiple things last night, and I got into when Ohtani hits the game tying home run. By the way, he reached base 9 times last night. Got walked 5 times and hit.
Tall Asian guy.
How about that? All extra base hits. Intentional walks or extra base hits. 2 doubles, 2 bombs,
yep.
5 intentional.
His final participation at the plate last night, he went opposite field and went deep to tie the game late there, and which felt late, but then it was really, really late. And I just got committed, and I was in there. And I'm like, all right, I mean, I'm here. All right, it's the 11th. I got to stay. It's the 12th. All right, I got to stay. Even Courtney, she sat in there, and she committed till the 14th, and she threw in the towel in the 14th. She said, all right, I got to roll. I went to the 17th inning, and I said, all right, I this is it. This is all right. We got to get something going here. And I was a little pissed off because every time Ohtani came up, they just
wouldn't let him end it.
My man just went through them fours up there, go down there, and then Mookie Betts, who has to be as pissed off as anybody in his house, he probably didn't sleep a wink. He may have been just underneath the tunnel in the cages swinging because he just could not capitalize on that. But I was like, all right, man. They popped out to Vladdy in the 17th to end it. To go to the 17th. I said, all right, man, I'm out. I'm out, man. 1:30 in the morning, I said, I'm out. I walk up, I was pissed. 18th is when Freddie Freeman hit it. I said, well, if I just gave myself 10 more minutes, I'd have hung in there and saw it. But I don't know, man. I don't know if it was as much a great game as much as it was a long game. And sometimes we do that. All right, boy, man, they went 18 innings. That sucker dragged about inning 11 to about 17. There were a couple of plays. There's a throw out the plate, but I mean, it wasn't a ton of action. There was a bunch of balls that was hit to the track that people may have thought was gone. But I don't know. It was a good game. There was some stuff in there. Ohtani, you know, once he wasn't able to be a part of the game anymore, it just felt like, all right, somebody just end the damn thing.
Yeah.
Just end it.
Yeah, look, I mean, 18-inning game, I need double-digit runs by both teams at least. They scored one run in extras, right?
Yeah, that's it.
That would have been a tough hang for me, which I'm sure there's some purists out there, boy, that just, man, that bullpen work was absolutely tremendous. Guys coming in, getting out of innings, walking batters to load the bases, and then pitching to Freddie Freeman a couple of times and getting out of jams kind of deal. But I'm with you. That was one of them where, man, I couldn't. I'm going to tell you, I ain't seen 1:30 in the morning. I ain't seen 1:30 in the morning in a minute now. Well, I guess I did with the postgame, Texas postgame, I did till 4. But in terms of choosing to sit up and watch really anything but baseball at 1:30, nah, I was gone. I was done.
Cooked. And I was, man.
The highlight reel was tremendous.
I wanted to hang in there. I wanted to see it to the end. And I was invested. And then I said, I mean, I can't keep doing this, man. I got to get these kids up. Do that towel in. I woke up as soon as I grabbed my phone. Freddie Freeman in the 18th. Smoking
right hot. After you shut it down.
Yeah, right after I shut it down. Smoking hot about that. I will also say this. I do not get enjoyment in seeing guys who weren't on the roster 6 weeks ago decide stuff. I don't get enjoyment in seeing that Klein fella, he was a hero. He threw 4 innings for the Dodgers.
Yep.
The most he had ever thrown in a game was 30 pitches. He threw 72. He was getting clean. He couldn't hang on with the Royals. He was getting cleanup duty for the Royals earlier this year, and then they cut him. I'm not into watching those guys decide games.
Well,
late. Like
I mean, I would imagine that outing right there probably made him a little money.
I hope so. We'll see. He pitched his ass off. Good for him. But I tell you, the biggest thing to come out is Ohtani, and by the way, he pitches tonight.
Mm-hmm.
After he has impacted this game. I'll be honest with you, I don't really give a damn if what happens the rest of the way if the Blue Jays win it or not, I think Shohei should be the World Series MVP. I mean, the rest, I don't care what the hell happens the rest of the way.
I mean, Freddie's got to say, right?
I don't know. I mean, this guy was on base 9 times last night. Like, it's just insane. But I think I understand where he is. He is in that space, Clint, where he's in there with Tiger, Kobe, LeBron is in this. And that is they had such hype, right? There was such hype when they came onto the scene before they got on, where it was like, all right, man, nobody's going to live up to this. And we've seen athletes throughout time like, oh, boy, they're going to be, Wimby may be in this. I don't think he's hit this yet. But the hype coming up, Shohei may be the best in terms of, like, exceeding the hype. Tiger, you remember when Tiger came out? Like, all right, man, this dude is going to be the next thing at golf. And obviously, he was and exceeded it. LeBron, similar thing. Kobe, similar thing. Like, when they said this guy pitches and hits, you know, it's like, all right, let's see what he's going to do. But, like, there has never been anybody to affect a baseball game the manner that Shohei Ohtani, when Barry Bonds would do it, nobody would mess with him back in the day, but Barry didn't pitch, right? Trout was really, really good. He's nowhere close to this guy and the way he impacts this. There may not be an athlete who has exceeded the hype more than Shohei Ohtani has. And I know it's early. There may be, it is insane how good he is.
Yeah, it just doesn't seem like it's going to slow down. I mean, obviously the hitting could, but I mean, just the overall package of being able to go out there and be one of, if not the best hitter in baseball, and then flip around on any given night, be one of, if not the best pitcher in baseball is just, I mean, it's so rare that I don't know how it's not in those names, with those names you mentioned.
No, I mean, you know, like in other sports, and I think it is fair with baseball, Like C.J. Stroud can affect the game more than anybody on the field in a game, in the football game, because he's the quarterback. He touches the ball the most. Like, you know, KD, the best player, Shingun, shout out to them. They got their first win last night by blowing away the Nets. But they can affect the superstar in basketball can affect the game on offense and defense. Baseball, you don't really get to see that. I guess starting pitching can, but they only pitch once a week. This dude tonight is going to be the most feared person at the plate. Yeah. They may not pitch to him, and he's going to flip and pitch on the other side. We have never seen a player affect the game in baseball, can't have the ability to affect the game as much as he does in baseball.
Well, there's nobody even with the ability. But the thought, Ron, too, is, you know, we talked about this last week, is it, I'm not I'm a casual baseball fan that watches the Astros. I'm not a got to get home and watch even the World Series. Got to get home and watch it. Can't wait to get Shohei Ohtani. Shohei Ohtani is the kind that I could call my wife right now and say, hey, Shohei Ohtani, that guy that went 4-for-4 last night and was intentionally walked 5 times, best player in baseball, doing things that nobody's ever known. He's pitching tonight, and she'd be like, yeah, let's turn it on and watch it for a minute.
Tonight,
like, it's appointment television.
Tonight should be one of the most highest views.
I'm sure it will.
They're not up against football, right? The NBA has started early, but there's not a big thing there. It should be Ohtani pitching coming off of last night. This should be a appointment television. This appointment television for you, Tyler.
It will be on several continents.
Nope.
Shohei pitching and hitting, it's not even, this not is even
just
worth
really,
it.
In all seriousness, it just really isn't. Like, if the Astros aren't playing baseball, I do not watch a lot of baseball.
I'm not saying but I'm just saying.
No, I understood.
Flip the TV
I'm not
on.
Interested.
Oh, really, man?
Sit your family down and do queso.
Yeah, do queso on the coffee table. But
sounds
good. Sounds
tremendous,
doesn't
it? Sounds great right now, I'll be honest with you.
I wonder if Ohtani likes queso.
Queso, coffee.
Absolutely. Really? I just, that is.
Yeah, man.
The greatness element, I cannot, I'm in. I'm in tonight.
I didn't know there was any kind of 18-inning craziness until I got into work this morning.
You got to be kidding me.
No.
dead serious.
Until I got to work this morning.
Okay. Well, all righty. I guess I can see it's not a appointment. I guess.
Sorry.
I guess it wasn't. No, man. I cannot wait for this. Because I was sitting there after the seventh inning, after he tied the game, and I was sitting there thinking to myself, what is the scenario if I'm the Blue Jays manager in which I would pitch to him? Like, I couldn't. The only way that I would throw a pitch, I would walk him to put the go-ahead run in scoring position. And I know there are some people around here sitting around here saying, what are you talking about? This is stupid. No, I'm serious. Like, I would. And I would take my chances with two of the best hitters and players in baseball today, and Freddie Freeman and Mookie Betts, who come behind him. The only way that I would have...
Would you start the game off with it? What if he just leaves the dugout with a helmet on, goes straight to first base?
I don't think I would to start the game. Hey, man, we crossed the fourth, fifth. Yeah, sixth inning?
On the backside, you ain't pitching to him at all, no matter what.
Hey, man. Hey,
I don't disagree at all.
Hey, man. I mean, we used to talk about this with Alvarez, with Jordan.
Yeah.
Like, there's some. But Barry, like Barry Bonds, I've told that story with Buck Showalter. Barry Bonds, one time, and they had a 2-run lead with the bases loaded, and Buck walked him to walk a run in.
And was probably the smart move.
Well, they won. Yes.
Yeah.
Jeff Kent got out, and they won.
Astros great.
I'm serious. That is, like, the bases loaded was the only scenario in which that I felt like I would pitch to Shohei last night. And then after that, it would just be prayers up. Hope he hits it to somebody. That dude is.
Hope he bet on himself last night.
That dude is insane. Hold on. It's not a good time to do that. All right, it is a Texans Ticket Tuesday, so make sure you're staying tuned for that 5 o'clock hour. You got a chance to win a pair of tickets in the bullpen. Coming up, some... really, really, it's not positive news, but it is positive news for the Texans and their chances in this game coming up on Sunday against the Broncos. We'll let you know what that is coming up next.